It is the rainiest, coldest day we've had so far in New York, and it's barely November.
It's about to be, yeah.
Yeah.
It is one of those days. It is like an actual, like, chilly, rainy October day.
I know you love it. Stunning. I'm cold to death.
Even though it betrayed me and now my jeans are all soaking wet.
I know.
I'm still here for it.
All right, good. Hi, Julia Mazzavalli.
Hello, Patrick Hines.
Fam, join us over on the Patreon, but only if you want more amazing bonus episodes, and I'm talking like 500 of them.
It's a party over there is the thing about it.
I know.
Can't stress it enough. Everyone's invited. If you don't want to come, that's totally fine,
yeah.
But everyone is invited to this party.
It's where we do all of the series that have like multiple episodes. We've done everything from The Staircase to the Lacey Peterson documentary to, I can't think of any.
To Scamanda and all of the like fake cancer docs.
Oh my God. God.
All the love fraud docs,
everything.
Everyone's faking cancer.
It's ridiculous.
What is this?
It's gotta stop.
It's too much. We also have a lot coming up. So we just did the Tylenol murders. We're doing Stalking Samantha. We're doing Trophy Hunter, that asshole, that piece of shit dentist. We're doing them all.
We're in the middle of that wicked, what's it called?
It's Wicked Game Devil in the Desert.
Oh my God.
It's crazy.
Wild. Anyway, patreon.com/truecrimeobsessed or click the link in the show notes. What's the other thing?
Facebook.
Oh, we have a Facebook group.
Yeah, we have like 58,000 members or 60,000 members, something crazy.
It's really fun. People are making friends in there. People are falling in love. Maybe not. Maybe I'm making that up, but they should be.
Maybe they are and we just don't know about
it. Hey, go into the Facebook group today looking for love. Do it for me.
Tell me if there's ever been a love connection.
Oh my God. Wouldn't that be amazing?
Yes.
Girl, what are we talking about today?
Okay, welcome to a bonus episode. This is our 19th bonus episode of the year. This is a series called Sin City Murders, Season 1, Episode 1. The episode is called Vanishing of a Showgirl.
Debbie's main goal and dream was to dance in shows in Vegas. Fantasy was her big break and what she really wanted to do.
A missing persons report was filed by Deborah's roommate stating that she had not seen Deborah for a couple of days. When she left, she seemed to be fine.
This was Debbie's biggest accomplishment of her career, and for her to not show up to her rehearsal was shocking.
We believe that Deborah was last seen leaving her residence in her 1997 Geo Prism.
I think Debbie did rub some people the wrong way. It's always that sense of competitiveness amongst dancers.
They found the black boots that Debbie wore when she left her house.
I remember her having a screaming match argument with him. She was scared.
As soon as you walk in the front door, it's just horrible. The smell was horrific.
I just remember being in such shock. Don't like talking about that part.
I just want to say right at the top, how much do we love this narrator's voice? She's got that perfect lady documentary voice because the subtitle says exciting music. And then she goes, Las Vegas is known worldwide for its high stakes gamble. And it's just like, oh my God, this lady's perfect for us.
Yeah.
Let me just say before we jump in, this is the kind of Vegas I want to see. Like, I want to go to one of these like showgirl shows.
The old school.
Yeah. Cause all I've ever done there is go into like the smoky casinos and have like bad dinners with people I didn't like.
Oh no.
So like now that I'm like, oh wait, I forgot that like the level of talent, the level of love of dance.
Las Vegas is a place where aspiring dancers can come and make their dreams come true.
Dance training and the etiquette in which Vegas showgirls and dancers are held to is very hard. Keeping a size 0 to 2 and standing in 6-inch heels, it's definitely difficult.
Vegas is no joke, and it's not for the weak in terms of if you're a performer, if you want to, you got to work hard to succeed in Vegas. And Deborah Flores Narvaez, our victim, did exactly that. She worked her ass off.
One of her friends tells us you had to stay a size 0 to 2 and dance in 6-inch heels. Like, oh my God.
Yeah, it's like, it's a very, very hard gig. Like, they tell us about the legendary showgirls, right? Like, lots of dancers go to Vegas looking for jobs. And it's a very, very hard gig. It's like impossible standards, like staying, you know, 0 to 2 and whatever. I mean, it's horrible.
You think about, like, entertainment capitals of the United States. You think of, like, New York and L.A. I always forget about, like, these women are, like, technicians. These people, these men and women, whatever, they are technicians of dance.
Don't sleep on Vegas when it comes to performing, for sure.
Also, most of the shows are only like an hour, so you can get like back out to dinner like ASAP.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. They know.
Yeah.
They know their audience.
Yeah.
The thing about Vegas, it knows exactly what it is and it knows exactly who you are if you're going there.
Totally.
Right?
We learned that one of the longest-running must-see shows in Vegas is called Fantasy. It's at the Luxor. It's a burlesque show geared towards the sensuality of women, but it's tastefully done.
And I'm like, how have I not seen the show 10 million times?
Honest to God.
Next time I go to Vegas, I'm going to the show.
How is Showgirls the only, like, Vegas dance movie ever to be made?
I know.
You know what I mean?
Because it's perfect and villainous.
I love that Elizabeth Berkley is, like, owning it now. She's going to, like, conventions for it.
I saw her. She looks amazing.
She looks so good.
Here's the thing about Fantasy. If you book this gig, you hit the jackpot, no pun intended.
Truly.
I mean, honestly.
It's like the hardest job as a dancer to get in Vegas.
Yeah. And so Debbie was a dancer in this show.
Yeah.
And we meet two of her friends, Dion and Devin. And Dion says that he knows Debbie because they also work together in the Las Vegas entertainment community. She was incredibly hardworking. She went out to Vegas with a purpose.
Yeah.
And she worked super hard and she made that purpose come true.
And we will learn in a minute, she did not start early as a dancer. Like, you know what I mean?
Like, oh, I've been dancing since I'm four.
Yeah.
Like, not really the case, because she was doing other amazing things.
I cannot wait.
Travel down the road, back again.
Girl, Pretty Litter is back. You just said it. Give us our monthly macaroni update.
Macaroni is great. Macaroni is my best friend's cat. And let me tell you, the minute she got a cat, I was like, you know what? You also have to get Pretty Litter.
Yeah, I thought you were going to say Macaroni is your best friend. I was like, I love that for you.
Yeah, well, we have a special relationship.
Listen, you all know this. Pretty Litter helps monitor your cat's health by testing acidity and alkalinity levels and the visible presence of blood in your cat's urine. What they're saying is, if something is wrong, the Pretty Litter turns another color, and then you know you need to take your cat to the vet because they can't talk to you.
Yeah, so Pretty Litter's crystals are safe for cats and people.
Yeah.
They change color. They detect early signs of potential illness, like urinary tract infections and kidney issues.
Yeah.
Again, all those things that the cats can't talk about.
Literally. It also ships free right to your door, so no more heavy bags to carry, no more last minute store runs. That for me was always the worst part. They're so heavy. But now they bring it right to your door.
Yeah, so you don't have to worry about that. And also, let me tell you, your guests are going to thank you for this.
Ugh.
They have advanced odor control, which means that your home smells like a home.
Yes.
And not a litter box. Because I'm telling you, it's no shade, but everyone gets nose blind.
It's true.
Everybody.
So fam, right now, try your first bag for just $14.99 and get a free cat toy at prettylitter.com/TCO.
That's prettylitter.com/TCO to get your first bag for just $14.99.
Prettylitter.com/TCO. Tell them the rules.
Pretty Litter cannot detect every feline health issue or prevent or diagnose diseases.
I love your rules voice.
A diagnosis can only come from a licensed veterinarian. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Nailed it.
It's my gentle parenting voice.
So Devin, her other friend, is here. They met go-go dancing at a nightclub called Haze.
Mm-hmm.
And she says,
Debbie was a ball of fire. We loved to party and we loved to dance. She was the most loving and funny. A little saucy. Definitely a little saucy. What I would call it is passion.
I would call it passion. Like,
yes.
She knows what she wants and she goes for it. We love that. So Debbie really, really, really wanted to be in Fantasy. That was why she went there. It was her goal. She worked super hard. She books it. And she's not in the ensemble. She's a starring role. And it's what she wanted. And some people love the ensemble and they want to do that for the rest of their careers. Like, that was not Debbie.
Well, and the other thing we'll learn in a minute is that, like, not only did she book a starring role, she choreographed it herself and she got Cisco.
I'm going to tell you something about Cisco later.
Is it good or bad?
It's crazy.
Oh,
it's like,
okay.
It's a cool, like, music nerd thing.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
But it's that amazing thing where, like, not only is she, like, the star of the show, but she got this, like, incredibly famous person to come and, like, do the music.
Right. So the night before her debut, Debbie is a no-call, no-show. She doesn't show up to her final rehearsal.
For a couple of things. The final rehearsal was at midnight.
I'm telling you, Vegas is not for the weak.
It is not for me.
Not for the weak.
I am the weak in this situation. Rehearsal at midnight.
They're working all day.
Yeah.
And it's the only time to do it. And then you get up and do it all again tomorrow. It is serious.
But also, like, the fact that she was a no-call, no-show at her final, like, something is seriously dreadfully wrong.
Yeah. So this is where they tell us, like, this sort of, like, because this is the biggest week in her career to date.
Yeah.
Especially because this big reveal, I was like, what?
She had choreographed a dance and partnered with an R&B singer at the time named Cisco. This was supposed to be her debut. It was a really important night for her.
Cisco was in Drew Hill, and then after that made the Thong Song in 2000. It was the biggest thing in the world.
Oh, my God.
This is so annoying. Look it up. It's actually cool. The Thong Song has a really...
How does it go?
Well, the beginning is like, bum, 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 that string section, which was inspired by Eleanor Rigby.
Oh, my God.
It's inspired by a Wes Montgomery cover of Eleanor Rigby. But he was like, I kind of want those strings to sound like Eleanor Rigby, but, like, I want to do, like, a new spin on it. So we got, like, all of these amazing producers and musicians to, like, help him do the Eleanor Rigby strings.
Oh, my my God.
In the thong song, like, she's got dumps like a truck.
Oh, that's like what it is. Okay. It's funny. Like, the Eleanor Rigby thing, if you see the look on my face, I'm pretending to know what that is. I don't know. I
and
feel
then
like
he has
I should.
That big, like, whoa. It's the thong song. The song is ridiculous. On its face, it's ridiculous, but the musicianship of it is actually very cool and interesting. Look it up.
And he's incredibly famous. So, like, the fact that, like, how did Debbie get to him? Like, Debbie is about to be a major star.
So the no call, no show is extra, extra suspicious.
Yeah. So it's December 13th, 2010. And like everybody at the Luxor, where she's supposed to be for rehearsal, knows that this is a problem. So the producer calls the cops and she's like, she's not here. There's a problem.
And the cops are like, oh, we're going to do nothing. She's probably fine. It hasn't been long enough for you to worry. The context of this doesn't matter. Who's Cisco? I don't care. It's 5:01. I'm done.
I know. It's been a minute since we've heard that it's not like you have to wait 48 hours to make an official. They keep saying official and non-official missing persons.
And they're not listening to the context. I think what they're thinking is like, oh, she's a showgirl in Vegas. She's probably out. Oh, she overslept. Oh, she whatever. Like making every excuse in the book to not. And all of her friends and coworkers are like, no, you don't understand.
Yeah.
She was on the precipice of something. This was the, no. You like, please just give a shit. And they were like, no.
Yeah.
So the next night, Debbie has still not shown up anywhere. And her roommate decides to make moves themselves. And she files a missing persons report.
And we hear it. We hear that 911 call. And the cops get to Debbie's apartment. They interview the roommate. They say there's no signs of foul play. And they only get a little bit of information. Like the night that Debbie vanished, she and her roommate were hanging out at the apartment. They both left around 6 o'clock. And they went their separate ways. And the roommate tells her
Debbie had gone to her ex-boyfriend, Jason Griffith's house.
Debbie went over to Jason so that the two of them could hang out, that they would spend time watching TV, and that they were just going to spend some time together as friends.
Debbie was going to hang out with her ex-boyfriend, a guy named Jason Griffiths. I'm not calling him by his nickname.
No, but we'll say it for a second because I'm sure he thinks it's so cool.
But that's why I'm not going to. I almost texted you today. I'm like, I'm not calling him this.
Yeah, no, I'm not going to call him that. Like for the remainder.
Exactly.
No.
Yeah.
But so the plan was that they were going to hang out as friends. They were going to like watch TV and keep it pretty innocent. That's what the roommate says, right?
And she's got rehearsal at midnight. Like, oh my, she's got to stay awake another 6 hours and go rehearse with Cisco.
Girl, you can't get cozy on the couch.
No.
You got to keep it moving. You got to keep those jeans on, those real pants on. You can't slow down for a second.
Debbie, 6 p.m. is nap o'clock. If you got rehearsal at midnight, for I can only imagine it's going to be like the sexiest, fieriest dance number ever done.
You got to keep it going.
Ugh.
So Jason the ex goes by Blue. Shut up. He was a dancer at the Love Show at the Mirage, which is the Beatles Cirque du Soleil show. Can I just say something?
Please.
I understand full stop that doing Cirque du Soleil is like an amazing feat that I could never do. I know it takes a lot of work. I find it incredibly pretentious and it's just not my thing.
Yeah.
Like the performance, like the actual, it's just not my thing. Like I'd rather go see Debbie's show than his show for many reasons, but that is also me saying like, I totally understand that it's like a feat of amazingness.
I love a Cirque show. There's
it's not
a,
my thing.
There's a Cirque du Soleil Nutcracker that comes for every year. We went last year. It was fucking crazy.
Like I'm sure it was.
Yeah. It's like, you cannot believe what these people can do. It's, I don't know how they're safe. I don't know how many, how often they get hurt. And if you walk like on TikTok, like I'll watch like the water ones in Vegas, it looks, but I get it.
Like I'm amazed by it.
Yeah.
I want everyone to go and have the time of their live stage door, get the, whatever you got to do.
Yeah.
But I'm like, I'd much rather spend an hour at Debbie's show.
I totally understand how there's something, it feels a little hokey, even though we know they are like masterful technicians.
Yes.
You know?
Right. Like it's not an insult. It's just not my thing. Like I don't like, you know, it's like a taste thing. You know, it's like literally like, you're like, oh, I don't like, I just don't want to.
When you and I go to Vegas, we will part ways for the 8 o'clock show hour and then we'll meet up. Back at the bar after.
You're not coming to the show, girl?
Can you see it twice? Because I kind of like to go to the show.
Yes, of course. And we got to go see Drag Race.
That is like literally a reason
it's
to
so
go.
It's so good.
How, Mike and did I you went. See it?
Of course.
Oh my God.
It is so good. And you never know who you're going to get. It's really good.
Oh my God. All right, we're going to Vegas.
Okay.
We're planning a trip.
Yes. So the cops talk to this ex-boyfriend, whatever.
Jason.
And he says,
Debbie did stop by last night, but she never got out of the car. We had a short conversation, but she said that her plans had changed and she had to meet some friends. And the last he saw her was around 6:30, 7 o'clock at night on the 12th.
my plans have changed. And she didn't even get out of the car to tell him this.
He, like, drops the most suspicious piece of information. Because he literally, like, the cops don't even ask. He's like, oh, but by the way, she's suicidal. Yeah. Just letting you know she's suicidal.
This might be something.
Yeah.
Says the ex. You know, she said, I'm so stressed I could jump off a bridge. So, I mean, take that how you will, coppers.
Yeah. She might have jumped off a bridge. Just you let me know.
It's but like, no,
then
ma'am.
We learn this insane fact that suicide is apparently incredibly common in Vegas. And they say, quote, people will drive their cars out into the desert and then we never find them. And I'm almost like, did you look? Because how hard can it be to find a car?
It's not like hiding behind anything. It's kind of open space.
Like, you get in a helicopter and you at least fly around. Like, if there's just like so many people who have died by suicide who are like out in their cars, and I feel like you could find those.
Yeah, they were implying that they don't find the bodies, or that just they like never come back.
He literally said they drive out to the desert in their cars and we never find them. Excuse me?
Then you're not
looking.
Doing your job.
Yeah, that's all.
Right?
It seemed like a very odd thing.
That seems like a really big misspeak.
Yes. Yes.
Because that can't be what you mean.
That can't be what is happening.
It can't be what you mean.
I agree.
But anyway, so the cops are reaching out to her friends and family to like get some information on, quote, her emotional well-being. And everyone is like, I'm sorry, what? She couldn't have been doing any better.
No.
She choreographed this like hot ass dance with Cisco. She's about to have the best day of her career.
Her absolute dream is about to come true.
Was she stressed? Probably. Maybe not. Who cares? But like, no, she was doing awesome.
And they're all saying like she was primed for this level of attention. She was like ready for all of this shit, the pressure. That's the word I was looking for.
And something tells me she knows how to handle pressure, because we learned Debbie is a powerhouse.
Oh my God.
She was born in Puerto Rico. Her family moved to Baltimore.
Interestingly, she didn't start out in life with her professional career trying to be a dancer.
I was blown away by the fact that not only had she been a Redskin cheerleader, she'd also gotten her law degree. And she also, on top of that, had an MBA in finance.
Debbie can hang, ex-boyfriend idiot Jason.
Yeah.
Don't worry about her.
But that's what I'm saying. Like, she moved to Vegas at 30 to become a dancer. Like, people move to Vegas at 16 to become dancers.
And within a year, she got the gig that everybody wants.
With Cisco.
Come on.
And by the way, none of the dancers killed her. Can we skip that part?
I know. They really want to make it seem like...
They're like, well, maybe she got too famous too fast.
And maybe. Jealousy is a hell of a thing. Just ask Ice-T. We just covered it.
I guess. But like, I love that in this example, they're like, not only did they not murder her, they were like making flyers and like circulating shit to go find her.
Right.
Like, the dance community was really behind this woman.
Right. So the cops rule out suicide.
Yeah.
Debbie's been missing for 3 days and the cops finally find some evidence that can be helpful. They find surveillance footage from Debbie's apartment building.
Yeah. And it only really tells us that, like, she was wearing black boots, and it shows us that she never came home. So that's big.
And it shows us what car she was in. So it was a maroon Geo Prism, a Maryland license plate. All of these details about, like, if we find any of these other things, we have found Debbie.
And what stood out to me there was that, like, we know she's been in Vegas for, like, less than a year. She's been in Vegas for such a short time, she hasn't even changed her license plate to a Vegas license plate.
Yeah.
And she fucking got her dream
job.
She's
too busy.
She did it in less than a year.
She's too busy working.
Working.
She's not going to the DMV.
No.
The DMV.
She's got rehearsal at midnight.
Like,
you know what I mean?
Are you kidding me?
Oh, my God.
So the dancers are trying to find Debbie because the cops are like, no one stood out to us. And they were like, yeah, we stood out because we were doing practically cartwheels down the fucking strip looking for our best friend.
Yes.
So the cops go back to Jason, the ex-boyfriend. He was the last person to see her. And we know sometimes these assholes want to ruin special nights for you and special events for you. And this was a very big night for her, we've been told a million times.
Yes.
So my mind is going like, oh, he wants to destroy it.
And one other thing we didn't mention because I skipped ahead.
For a missing person's investigation like this, you would check her financial records to see if they're spending money, her cell phone activity. Debbie was very prolific on her cell phone. Debbie would post on social media all the time. We saw that Debbie's activity ceased the night of December 12th.
Her bank accounts haven't been touched and her phone hasn't been used since the night she went missing.
Something bad happened to her.
Something bad definitely happened.
So the Jason and Debbie story, they started out as, quote, a young couple in love, but there were a lot of ups and downs. And by December 12th, they were just friends.
Yeah. And like, Jason is the ups and downs. You know what I mean?
So the cops find a red flag. I'm like, yeah, of course they do.
Yeah.
Jason was previously arrested for domestic violence against Debbie.
Yeah. And then like Debbie's sister Celeste shows up. We see like news footage of her. She is an absolute wreck, as of course anybody would be. And she's the one who also tells the cops about another ex, a guy named Jamil, who Debbie was also really afraid of.
Right.
Girl, ZBiotics pre-alcohol probiotic is back. Make it your first drink of the night.
All right, so ZBiotics pre-alcohol probiotic drink is the world's first genetically engineered probiotic.
Yeah, it was invented by PhD scientists to tackle rough mornings after drinking. Thank you, science.
Here's how it works. When you drink, alcohol gets converted into a toxic byproduct in the gut.
Yeah, it's a buildup of this byproduct, not dehydration, that's to blame for your rough days after drinking.
Pre-alcohol produces an enzyme to break this byproduct down. Just remember to make pre-alcohol your first drink of the night, drink responsibly, and you'll feel your best tomorrow.
We have happy hours like once a week. We put them in a little bowl. People grab one as their first drink before they start drinking. It works every time.
Yeah, it's so easy to take.
Yeah.
You take it as your first drink. Again, like still drink responsibly, like eat your dinner and like have some water. But really, I do notice a difference the next day.
Same.
Because we're like not canceling plans because we want to have a few cocktails the night before. We all have stuff to do.
No. So fam, whether you're raising a glass on Turkey Day, catching up with old friends, or just winding down with a glass of wine after a long week, the next morning still matters. So don't forget to drink a pre-alcohol.
Go to zbiotics.com/TCO to learn more and get 15% off your first order when you use TCO at checkout.
ZBiotics is backed with a 100% money-back guarantee, so if you are unsatisfied for any reason, they'll refund your money, no questions asked.
Remember to head to zbiotics.com/TCO and use code TCO at checkout for 15% off.
First drink of the night?
Yeah, it's so easy.
It's so easy.
It's a shot. So Jameel is Debbie's ex-boyfriend from 2009. Debbie was scared of him. Debbie's friend Dion, who's here, tells us that she would get into, quote, physical altercations with him. They would have, like, screaming matches on the phone, and Dion would overhear them.
And, like, what is it with these men, like, hitting and beating their girl? It's just, like, I'm not naive. I know it happens, but it is just absolutely unbelievable to
me. I'm telling you, I think, what was it? We talked about something. I think it was the cat cult when I was like, is insecurity the root of all evil? Does it really start there? And the more we talk about this, I think the answer is yes.
No question. It always
starts with like some person, mostly met, like being insecure. She was awesome.
Yes. And like was about to like be the star of her favorite show. Did you see that lesbian Mary from the cat cult joined the Facebook group? How amazing is that?
Yes, I love that.
She's like, hi, you guys. Thanks for being so nice to me.
Mary. Who's being nice to Mary?
Honestly, the leader of that cat cult.
I just want to have a conversation.
Just over here for 2 seconds.
Just 2 seconds. So Dion says, Debbie was scared and he was concerned about this horrible relationship with Jameel.
Yeah.
So when the cops look into this, they learn two things. There were domestic violence charges against Jameel.
Yes. And also, Debbie had sued him. So in this domestic violence situation, he had like scarred her and bruised her.
Because of those scars and because she was modeling and because she was dancing, she was able to sue and she got an award of $250,000. This was an award that had not been paid. There's this person with an outstanding $250,000 judgment against him, maybe 250,000 reasons for him to come after Debbie Flores.
Did he have 250,000 reasons to kill her?
Because of course he hasn't paid it.
Of course not.
And I'm sure she's wanting it and asking for it. And now like it's a big fucking hassle to have to pay this. Like
garnish those fucking wages.
Right.
You
I'm
know?
Like, he did this, right?
He did that.
But then, out of the blue, the cops get a call and a woman has reported an abandoned car near where she lives, and it's Debbie's car.
Yeah, it's a Geo Prism. And, like, once again, stay stupid. The car is, like, off to the side of the road with no license plate.
It's like, just super obvious, and it's parked on an angle. Yeah. It's like, all right,
these
idiots.
These people are so dumb. But then I'm thinking, not that I want to know the answer, but, like, what do you do with a car? Like, when you kill somebody and you got to get rid of their car, what do you do with it?
You do what the mob does. You have it totally destroyed.
You just, like, set it on fire. You take it out to the desert because apparently they can't find anything out
there. Let me tell you, we'll talk about this when we get to the Philly versus the mob, the whole Joey Marlene thing. Like, there are places, because someone tries to burn the car, it does not go well in that
like
series.
Like those idiots in France who tried to burn their own truck at the Louvre, and it didn't work.
And there's,
work.
Like, a scratch on it.
Yeah,
you go to a place, they did this in Breaking Bad, too, you just, like, flatten it and fucking destroy it.
Isn't that what they tried to do to Teresa Halbach's car, too, and, like, Making a Murderer?
Probably.
Yeah.
Because he lived near, like,
he lived
those,
in, like, one, yeah.
Like,
but, I mean, a car is, apparently, cars are impossible to destroy. You just take them out to the desert and you leave them there.
Well,
and
apparently,
nobody can find them.
Apparently. I'm not saying it's an easy way.
Yeah.
Like, the mob isn't doing it. If you know a guy, then fine. He can make it happen. But, like, that's the thing. There is no real easy way to get rid of a car. You just have to, like, park it haphazardly somewhere and hope that nobody reports it.
Well, like, and also, the second you take a license plate off a car, it is absolutely fucking suspicious.
And they're like,
idiots.
Here's a red car parked weird with only one license plate.
Yeah,
I'm going to notice it.
And they also find her boots in the back. Like, this is obviously Debbie's car.
Right. But here's what they did not find.
They didn't find blood. They didn't find hair. They didn't find remnants of bleach or cleaning solutions, things that they would obviously be looking for in a missing persons investigation.
No cleaning products, no bleach. So I'm like, what the hell?
Yeah.
So they find Jamil. He's in Baltimore, Maryland, and he has been for a while, including the time of Debbie's disappearance. So this guy is an absolute piece of shit.
Yes.
He did not kill
he
Debbie.
He did not do this.
So let's go back to the other ex, Jason.
Yeah, so Jason's from the East Coast. He's a classically trained dancer. He moves to Vegas. He meets Debbie. They would fight a lot.
Yeah, there's domestic violence charges against him.
Yes, and he's like a total womanizer. And we'll learn in 2 seconds that he's like also just like lying to all the women in his life about like that she's the only one.
And the last person to see Debbie alive.
Exactly. And so, the one who's like, by the way, she's suicidal. You know what I mean?
And the domestic violence charge that was against him happened 2 months before Debbie goes missing. This whole, oh, we were just friends thing. Like, no, they were still, he was still very violent.
Yes.
So Debbie's been missing for 10 days. The cops formally meet with this piece of shit, Jason.
And he does the smart thing and brings a lawyer. Like, I feel like we never see that.
We never see that. But he says, and it's just like lies on lies on lies. Like, oh, we only had a casual relationship. We'd only ever been friends. Like, we never hooked up. Like, it was never romantic. But Debbie wasn't satisfied because he's just, like, so amazing. She was begging him.
Yep, she was like, crazy. She wanted me.
And I'm like, but I thought the story was that she was like, no, girl, I'm breaking plans with you. I'm not going to hang out with you tonight. Like, even that, it's like, girl, you can't keep your lies straight.
This never works. You're never going to get away with it.
If she was so obsessed with you and so crazy, she would have been in that house. But she was too busy to do it.
No.
But also, Jason already had a girlfriend, Agnes Rue.
Yes. But according to Devin, Debbie's friend, Debbie didn't like that.
Well, because this guy was giving them all the fucking runaround.
Well, and that's the thing. We're going to learn in 2 seconds he was lying to both of them. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, he's letting Debbie think that they are exclusive. Like, his story to the cops about Debbie wanting more is a lie. Like, he was the one who wanted exclusivity with all of these different women, or at least wanted these women to believe that that's what
lie.
Was happening.
Lie and causing drama and playing. And it's not just these two women. There were other women, too.
Yeah.
So the cops get a warrant. They search this guy's house.
We do what we call a microscopic search. Looking for any biological material would tie the victim to that scene.
There was no blood, nothing that would make us discern that there was a crime that had occurred in his residence.
They're looking for, quote, any biological material that would tie the victim to that scene.
They also speak to Jason's roommate, Louis Colombo. Are we going to talk about this guy for 10 minutes?
When we get to it, they just drop him in. Louis and his girlfriend have zero information. Thanks
for
nothing.
They know nothing.
And this is not the first time I'm going to say thanks for nothing to Louis.
Well, and at this point, the cops are kind of like, we don't really have anything but the car. Like, we don't have any witnesses. We don't have any evidence. Like, you would think that if Jason was the killer, there would have been blood in his house. They didn't seem to find any. There would have been blood in her car. They didn't seem to find any. So the whole press conference, hoping that, like, hey, maybe she actually is alive and out there and somebody knows where she is, and or somebody out there maybe has some information and they'll come forward. So they hold this press conference on December 21st.
And so 2 days after that, the cops get a call from Arizona State Police and they learn that a body has been found on the other side of Lake Mead, which we just learned about.
Yeah.
This body matches the description of Debbie Flores. So the cops go out to the scene. It's 30 miles east of Vegas.
The body's been burned, clearly trying to, like, make the body unidentifiable. It's not Debbie. Like, we learn pretty quickly it's not Debbie. They say, quote, it's a madam of an illegal Korean brothel in Vegas.
And I'm like, what, like trafficking? Like, what? Like, an illegal brothel? Like, what does that mean?
They seem to want to skip right past this.
They do. And I'm like, okay, well, I hope everything was as okay as it could be with that case.
I know.
Like, did that get handed to the proper people?
Authorities.
Oh, who knows?
We don't know. Vegas is wild.
It's wild.
It is.
And so is Arizona, apparently.
Truly, on the other side of Lake Mead.
You know?
Girl, Everyday Dose is back. That is that coffee with added benefits that I drink every morning.
Yeah, everyone's busy.
Yes.
Everyone's got a lot going on.
Yes.
And so when you're like constantly on the go and you love your coffee, you might be looking for something just a little bit better.
Yes. And so this is the deal. They combine high quality coffee with powerful ingredients like lion's mane and chaga, collagen protein, and nootropics to fuel your brain, boost your focus, and give you clean, sustained energy all day long. So the whole idea is that, like, why drink the regular coffee that just makes you feel kind of bad and makes you feel kind of bloated and does nothing extra for you when you could be drinking Everyday Dose that gives you the coffee that you love and is delicious and gives you these added benefits.
Yeah, it takes 30 seconds to make.
Yes.
You never run out of the ingredients that you need.
Nope.
Because it's all right there. And it tastes just like coffee, but it's like enhanced with all that good stuff.
It's just like the easiest switch to make in your life for something that is going to make you feel good. You know what I mean? I love it so much. So fam, try Everyday Dose. Be like me. Get 45% off your first subscription order of 30 servings of Coffee Plus.
You'll also receive a starter kit with over $100 in free gifts by going to everydaydose.com everydaydose.com/TCO or entering TCO at checkout.
That's everydaydose.com/TCO for 45% off your first order. No more coffee bloat, girl.
No, coffee with benefits?
Exactly.
Come on. I love that.
Girl, Miracle Made is back. These are the sheets that help you sleep at the perfect temperature. You and I are both obsessed with this.
Yeah, long gone are the days of either waking up sweaty or freezing cold or that horrible combination of both.
Oh my God, yes!
The worst thing in the world.
So look, Miracle Made sheets are crafted with NASA-inspired silver-infused fabric that helps regulate your body temperature. Like, that's what we all need.
Yeah, whether you're a hot sleeper or cold sleeper, it doesn't matter. These sheets are going to help keep you in the comfort zone all night long. That's number one.
Yeah.
Number two, they stay clean long.
Right. So look, thanks to their antibacterial silver technology, Miracle Made sheets stay cleaner and fresher up to 3 times longer than regular sheets. So that means fewer odors, like the sheet odor is the worst, not with Miracle Made, fewer wash cycles, which we all love, and way less laundry, which I'm a huge fan.
It also feels like a hotel bed, which yes. I love. So you're getting that luxury comfort without the luxury price.
I mean, we love this so much. Fam, it's time for you to upgrade your sleep or give the gift of better rest. This is a great gift.
It really is.
Yeah.
Go to trymiracle.com/TCO to try Miracle Made sheets today.
You'll save over 40%, and when you use promo code TCO, you'll get an extra 20% off, plus a free 3-piece towel set.
They make an amazing gift, and with a 30-day money-back guarantee, there's no risk.
Yeah, that's trymiracle.com/TCO, code TCO at checkout.
Thanks to Miracle Made for sponsoring this episode.
And my good night's sleeps.
Yeah. So let's talk to Jason's new girlfriend, Anya's Rue.
Anya's Rue was very talented. She was a female lead in a Cirque du Soleil show here in Vegas called Zoomanity. And she was the newest love interest of Jason Griffith in December of 2010.
When detectives speak with Anya's, she tells them she started dating Jason after he broke up with Debbie, or so she thought.
So this piece of shit was dating both of these women. They both thought they were the only one. He's lying up and down. I'm like, okay, also history of lying. History of violence, history of lying, total piece of shit. Cool.
Yes.
So when Debbie finds out what's going on.
That with, they're two-timing. Did you catch that?
I know.
They're like, they both found out that he was two-timing them. I'm like, what? When like, was this made?
Just say lying piece of shit. Exactly. We're still censoring.
Or cheating. Exactly.
Hulu, get two-timing. It together. Peacock, right. Get Please, it together. Whatever this is. So Debbie's furious because she's like, whoa, like she's a loyalty girl. And she was like, wait, it must be the most destabilizing thing to be like, or at any time that happens where you're like, I thought my life was one thing and now it's this thing and you have been lying to me the whole time. Like, what the fuck?
But we're also told from like authorities throughout that Jason was like hooking up with every woman in all of these shows.
A lot of women.
You would think this guy would have had like the craziest reputation.
And like, he's violently abusive. So I wonder how many other women he was abusing, probably all of them in some way, emotionally, mentally, he's lying to them. Like, what a piece of shit.
Yeah. To be like a straight man in this dancer world, I would imagine that he had a lot of options.
God.
I know.
So Anya's makes
there's
Jason.
There's not enough gays in this episode. There should be at least one. Maybe there's one.
Maybe.
We don't know. We don't know. He hasn't declared himself.
I have not stepped forward.
Exactly.
So Anya's makes Jason choose, and Jason chooses Anya's.
Yeah.
And according to Anya's, who is not here with us, we're just hearing this from other people, other reports. According to Anya's, Debbie just could not let it go.
Yeah. I know that we don't know that much about Debbie. She's got a fucking MBA, a law degree. Does she sound like the kind of lady who's going to wait outside some other lady's house?
And a former NFL cheerleader?
To be in a fist fight? I don't think
so. And like the lead dancer in the biggest gig on the strip, with Dancing with Cisco.
So like this, I'm calling bullshit on this story.
I don't know about the fact that this asshole wasn't the only game in town for Debbie. However, when you're being abused by someone, you can't see that.
It's true, because the story that we get is that like Debbie goes to Anya's house and like waits outside for her to come home. She comes home with Jason. Jason and Debbie get into a yelling argument.
And ultimately, Jason eventually pushes Debbie down, throws her phone.
It ended in violence for Debbie, and it ended in jail for Jason.
Jason, once again, like, just gets violent, because that's what he does. Shoves Debbie, throws her phone, breaks it. And Debbie comes out of this fight, like, this, like, fist fight with this piece of shit man. She had cuts, she had bruises, her hair was ripped out of her head.
Yeah, like, he didn't just shove her to the ground, he beat her up.
And, like, Anya, I don't know what Anya's was doing there. I'm not saying it was her responsibility. I'm just saying, like... Yeah. We don't know what role Anya's played in here. The way she tells it, she's a spectator and a spectator only.
Yeah.
That's the story.
I just don't think there's a world in which Debbie was there to like beat Anya's ass. I just don't think that that's what happened.
No, I'm sure she was like, what the fuck?
Yeah,
which
exactly.
is a very valid question.
Yes.
I ask it many times a day myself.
Exactly.
And I am not in this situation, so I can only imagine how she's like, I'm sorry, what?
Yeah.
You've been lying to me as I'm working my ass off? Like, what is going on here?
Debbie, everything was coming up, Debbie. Like, she had it made.
But this is why.
I know. Yes.
This is when it happens, when everything is coming up you.
Yes.
So the DA says it ended in violence for Debbie and jail for Jason.
Yeah.
But Añez has an airtight alibi.
Yeah, like she's definitely not the one who brought harm to Debbie. Like she's at her show. The window of time doesn't add up. It doesn't make any sense. We don't know what she knew. We never come back to it. But at the very least, she did not commit any crime.
Or exactly when she broke up with this asshole, which was hopefully.
Yeah.
In the middle of this fucking fight.
There's a lot of things that shows like this breeze by pretty quickly that we'd like some more answers to. You know what I mean?
I'm harping. I can feel it.
Yeah.
I'm harping.
No, it's okay. I'm with you.
I know. So Debbie has been missing for 3 weeks. They get another phone call from another ex of Jason's.
Yeah. So she had seen the news conference and she's got a story. And she says, Jason, now they refer to her as a girlfriend. But like in my understanding, she's just another girl from a show that he was hooking up
another
with.
Another ex.
Yes. And so Jason shows up at her house in a U-Haul with a large tub.
She asks Jason what's in the tub. She describes Jason as hesitating and then asking, do you really want to know what's in here? And her response is, if you were going to store it in my house, I want to know what's in there. Jason hesitated again and then said, it's Debbie.
And he says, it's Debbie. Now, it is a plastic tub full of concrete. Ugh. Yeah.
Yeah.
And so she rightfully loses her fucking mind, screams and yells at him to get out of there, and he takes off.
So now this happened on December 15th, 3 days after Debbie went missing.
Yes.
This woman, we don't get her name, that's fine, but she does not report it for 3 weeks.
And I think that's fine. I'm going to go on the record. Like, this cop cannot understand why this woman took so long to report it. She's absolutely fucking terrified.
She's
her
terrified.
Ex-boyfriend shows up with a dead body, and you're wondering why this woman didn't, like, immediately drop a dime?
And the other, it's not just the piece of shit ex, it's Louis the roommate.
Yes.
Louis Colombo is 6'5" and 400 pounds.
Yes.
And so he came as muscle to kind of, I think, strong arm this woman into letting them do whatever they wanted. And also, it's just a scary fucking thing.
And let me just say, I have no idea, but I cannot imagine what it must be like to be a female dancer in this culture. I bet they are dealing with terrifying men all the fucking time.
Yeah, I think being in any situation like that, there's a lot of entitled men, because if you're on stage looking like that and being sexy, then it must be okay. Or you're drinking all day in Vegas, or you're out in the sun, or you're just an asshole. Like,
and just,
of course.
Like, it must be scary. So, like, when I say it's fine that she didn't call for 3 weeks, what I'm saying is, can we give this woman some grace?
I don't think she had a nice 3 weeks.
Exactly.
I don't think it was, like, a fun 3 weeks for her. I think she was trying to see, like, what do I do?
And ultimately, she's the key to this whole thing. She did the right thing eventually, but she's got to figure out, she's like, I mean, my God, I'd be scared for my life.
And at first, it is like, 3 weeks, girl. Oh, my God, pick up the phone. But...
Yeah.
Like, this is where we are. Also, hey, idiots, please, please, please stay stupid. They rented a U-Haul to bring this tub to this woman's house. There's a record, you fucking dingbat.
It's hilarious. We see the video.
Receipts, credit cards, actual camera footage of you doing it. So December 12th, Debbie goes missing. December 14th, idiots rent the U-Haul.
Yeah.
December 16th, idiots return the U-Haul. So the cops are saying, okay, we know... Unfortunately, Debbie is deceased.
Yes.
Whatever happened to her happened within that timeline I just said, between the 14th, idiots renting the U-Haul, 16th, idiots returning the U-Haul.
So the cops are like, we got to go talk to Louis, who is clearly the weaker link. And when they say that, they show this picture of this man looking like the schlubbiest he could possibly look.
They offer him a deal. He cooperates like that. 2 seconds flat.
No questions asked.
And he confirms the story that we just heard from the girlfriend saying, yep, we went to the house. There was the tub. Like, we asked her, whatever.
And he gives like the full account of what happened.
December 12th, Debbie goes to Jason's house.
Yes.
Louis, the roommate, is there. Jason says, not tonight, Debbie. I'm going to go meet up with Añez.
And Debbie and Jason have a fight. Jason gets violent because that's the only thing he knows how to do. Louis says he walks in on the argument.
And when he walks in, Jason actually has his hands around Debbie's throat.
Louis tried to cool things off. He got Debbie to the side. He asked if she was okay. At that time, she was hoarse. She couldn't speak.
And Louis waits until things have calmed down and then he leaves.
He waits for things to calm down and then he leaves. Thanks for nothing, Louis.
For absolutely fucking nothing.
You could have taken this guy by his collar and body slammed him with one arm behind your back and you just left.
We don't know why. Jason owns this guy. Jason owns Louis. We don't know why, but 100%. But absolutely, Louis is under Jason's thumb.
100%.
And by the way, Louis, that's the only reason Jason is your friend. He doesn't like you. Like, he only likes you because he knows he can manipulate you to do anything.
And you'll keep your mouth shut and your hands to yourself when he is beating the shit out of a woman in front of you.
Exactly.
And then leave her alone with him, you fucking piece of shit.
So Louis goes to get his girlfriend, gets a text from Jason that says, don't bring your girlfriend here, but get home right now.
Louis's like, okay. So Louis arrives. Debbie is on the floor because she has just been killed by Jason, which, Louis, you knew that was going to happen when you walked out of the door. You're not that stupid.
No.
Nobody is.
And there's a plastic bag over her head, which Jason says he did just to make sure she was dead. So Louis says he runs to the bathroom and violently throws up. I don't buy that for a second. So they dump Debbie's car. Jason insists they've got to get rid of the body.
Louis's like, okay.
Okay, no problem.
What can I do? How can I help?
I've been getting violently sick in the bathroom, but let me just help in any way that I possibly can.
Let's do that.
So Louis helps fold her up and put her into this plastic tub.
And it's like, oh, so Jason, you just randomly have this plastic tub, or were you planning this?
Right. And then I'm like, is this the first person he's ever killed?
Probably not.
But, you know, like...
Or definitely, like, he's definitely severely, severely hurt women.
Yes.
No question.
Yes.
So, like, oh, look, there's footage of them at the hardware store buying the concrete.
No two idiots have ever looked more stupid than these. I don't know what it is about watching. I, like, watched it twice. I'm like, my God, they look so stupid.
You can hear the derpy music.
100%.
It's just like, it feels like that cartoon where it's like the big oaf.
Yeah.
And then like the skinny, like, like the wise guy. And then like the big oaf that's like, yes, sir, sir.
Yeah.
That's what this is. Only come to life. And it's evil. And it's not a cartoon. It's real life.
And they buy like a few pounds of concrete.
And comes back and they pour the concrete in the tub over the body. At this point, Jason gets the keys from this little bungalow downtown from another ex-girlfriend, and they were going to put the body in that house because they know the house is going to be empty for a while.
Jason gets the keys to a downtown bungalow from yet another girlfriend.
Another ex of his, and he wants to, like, because the bungalow is not in use, and he wants to use it for that. It's like a vacant, like, a bungalow that she has the keys to.
And, like, no questions asked, she gives him the keys. They bring the body down to the house. They know the house is going to be empty for a while. They load the tub into the truck. This was so...
I know.
The tub cracks on the way into being loaded into the truck, and fluid starts leaking out.
I know.
Suddenly, Louis's not sick anymore.
Well, yeah.
You know what I mean?
The muscle, the 400-pound guy who's like, no, this I can help you with. I won't help Debbie when your hands are around her neck.
Exactly.
But this I'll do.
This is fine.
So they leave Debbie's body inside the bungalow, and they go back to the hardware store to get supplies.
More video.
For bleach and, quote, odor-blocking materials.
Hammers, chisels, cleaning materials. Yeah. They break down the concrete they've already put her in. Then, this is so awful. They, quote, mutilate the body.
They put her torso into one tub. They put her legs into the other tub. They put her into the closet of the house. And they use caulking in order to close up the closet.
To seal the closet so the odor won't come out. Now, if you're the kind of person who has the ability anywhere within the constitution of who you are to dismember a body, this is not Jason's first time doing shit like this. It can't possibly be.
Yeah, this isn't something where, like, oh my God, something bad happened. I snapped and she hit her head and I don't know what to do. Like, this is...
He killed her, then dismembered her body. Like, that is not a thing that our brains are meant to process.
No.
So, like, this man has got to be wired. Like, can somebody look into this man's past and find out who else he hurt? When did this start?
Like, I wonder if other women came forward.
Yeah. This is not a, quote, heat of the moment. Like, this is...
Which would be bad enough, by the way.
Exactly. This is an escalation. Like, this man's past is littered with all of the hallmarks of this.
Totally.
Girl, cornbread is back. Look, this week we're talking about the cornbread hemp CBD gummies, which I love. I'm going to take one as soon as we're done.
Yeah, things are a little crazy out in the world, you know? And so one thing that helps me unwind is the cornbread hemp CBD gummies. And I really mean that. They're on my little dining room table.
Yeah.
And I just, like, I love having them at night.
The whole thing about cornbread hemp CBD gummies, they are made to help you feel better, whether it's stress, discomfort, or just needing a little relaxation. I actually started taking these after the gym. That was, like, my original impetus, because I would, like, my muscles would bee store, and it would really help.
There you go.
Yeah.
And they only use the best part of the hemp plant, the flower, for the purest and most potent CBD.
Yeah. And by the way, all products are third-party lab tested and USDA organic to ensure safety and purity.
Yeah. Sometimes my big thing is like I'm sitting on the couch and I'm like, I feel like I'm relaxed, but then my brain is going crazy and I just need that extra little push to like go into Relax-A-Town.
Relax-A-Town is my favorite place to go this time of year.
And so that's why I like my cornbread hemp CBD gummies.
Well, listen, fam, right now, TCO listeners can save 30% off their first order.
Just head to cornbreadhemp.com/TCO and use code TCO at checkout.
That's cornbreadhemp.com/TCO and use code TCO. Get your relax on.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, I do.
Okay, good. I feel seen and heard. Thank you.
Good.
So Louis, the roommate, brings the cops to the bungalow, and just when they're there, they're like, yep, everything he said was true, because they see everything.
And we see the pictures of it. Like, we see the way that they caulked the doors to that closet to keep it, like, to keep the odors out. And, like, what was the plan? Like, this wasn't even Jason's house. This was, like, Jason's girlfriend's house that it was only going to be vacant for a little while. Like, and what are you going to do?
What are you going to do? And I'm going to say, like, not, like, I don't want to give them any, like, advice or whatever, but I'm like, you're in Vegas.
Yeah.
Go into the desert.
Didn't we just learn you could take a car into the desert? No one will ever find it ever again.
It's just, it's weird that like, it doesn't seem like the heat of the moment, but this is such a stupid thing to do, which is great because now we can get the son of a bitch. But like, there's a part, it's like, I don't know.
Like,
I'm not a psychopath, so I can't really relate.
I was going to say this earlier in the episode. This guy's a classically trained dancer from the East Coast. He's also at the top of his profession. What on earth?
I know.
What on earth would possess you to throw all of that away to treat people like this?
But like, that's the mask. You know what I mean? That's the fake shit. Like, he just happens to be super talented, but he doesn't actually want to do that.
Yeah.
He doesn't really have the passion and drive to really fully succeed and make that a career because, like, he'd rather do this.
It's crazy.
It's so crazy. So the medical examiner confirms it is the body of Debbie Flores Narvaez. And she died by strangulation, which we know.
Yeah.
And so January 8th, 2011, 1 month after the disappearance, they finally haul the killer in for questioning and they confront him with everything that they know.
It's so weird because we watch this interview and they don't tell him right away that they know everything. They're sort of like playing a cat. Like, I think they want him to admit it or whatever. Yeah. And he's like, what are you talking about? And they finally tell him that they know he did it and they put him in cuffs and that is that.
Yeah, Louis told us everything. I'm sure he was like, I'm sure he was waiting for Louis to flip.
Yeah.
Somewhere he knew that Louis was going to flip on him.
It's unbelievable. And like, her friends are just absolutely shocked. Like, I think that they knew that Jason was a piece of shit, but like, who ever imagines that you know a person who has it in you to do this?
You can't ever make sense of something like that because it doesn't make any sense.
Well, Dion, her friend, says,
it was just crazy. The fact that Debbie's passion was dance and the guy cut her legs off. I don't even know the words to describe it. It's horrible. It's horrible.
And Devin says, like, it reminds you of what people do with trash. And Debbie was anything but that.
I think I only know one person in my life who knows somebody who was murdered. And I helped them write a book 100 years ago about it. And I just remember her processing, like, you never think you are going to know somebody who's going to die, let alone knowing somebody who has been brutally murdered.
I know.
Like, that is a thing that, like, I don't, how do you ever process that fully?
I know. I told you one of my mom's friends knew someone who was killed in a road rage incident.
Oh my God.
Like, they just got, like, were, you know, honking the horn, whatever, and the other person got out of the car and killed him.
I mean, that is
it's
insane.
Like, you know what I mean? And then you hear that, and even though it's like removed from me, it's just like, how, like what you were saying before, how do you get to that point?
Right.
What is in you?
Like, there's got to be a part of you in the moment of committing the act that knows, like, my life is over now too.
Right.
You know what, like, I mean? Yeah.
In what world?
It makes no sense. So May 5th, 2014, 3 years later, Jason stands trial.
His friend and roommate, Louis Colombo, makes a deal to avoid charges and becomes a key witness for the prosecution.
We asked for first-degree murder, which is a premeditated and deliberate killing, because of the amount of time and the effort and the deliberation that you have to go through in order to kill a person with your bare hands.
It's an intent to kill, but it lacks the premeditation and deliberation, which is to say he was strangling her to kill her, but he didn't think about it
ahead of time.
Before she came over.
Uh-huh.
Which is still bullshit.
Yeah, can we just put him away for the rest of his life?
That would forever? Be great.
Because he only gets 10 to life. And like, in 2020, we're told he has his first parole hearing and they declined.
I mean, obviously. You know, well, not obviously, but
her friend Devin says, like, I hope he's in jail for the rest of his life because he will definitely do this again.
If he hasn't already.
There's no
question. If he hasn't before.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Right.
I wonder if you know this, like, if you're someone who has been abused by this person or you have proof of violence. Like, could you write to the parole board and be right. like, I, because I know, I'm sure you could, right?
Yeah, I mean, anybody can write to the parole board.
Could any of the other women he asked to, you know, like the owner of the bungalow or the woman that he basically like essentially kind of threatened to be like, can you hold this tub for me? Here's my 400 pound muscle behind me.
Yeah.
Like, could she speak to the parole board and be like, I'm scared for my life?
When you like, when you murder somebody and then mutilate the body, you have to go to jail forever.
Forever.
You don't get to ever get out.
Forever.
You know what I mean?
I feel like 10 years, I hope we're harping on the 10 years.
Yes.
I feel like whenever this gets across a desk, it just gets denied. Every time.
Yeah, yeah.
Please.
Oh my God, girl, we did, what's it called?
So this is Sin City Murders. This is the first episode of that series. And I liked it because, like, you know, it ends with her friends being like, we think about her all the time. Like, she's a star.
Yeah.
So I like that her friends were here. So we'll see what else we can do in this series.
I like it. I'm into it. And that's it. We love you.
Yeah. I hope you're liking these bonus episodes. We have
We're almost done.
Yeah, but we already have, like, the next 3 or 4 on the calendar.
For next year?
For next year.
Fam, we're doing another 22 more bonus episodes. So we're doing 50 regular episodes next year, 22 bonus episodes, and then, like, Patreon every week.
And God knows. And then plus the after parties that we do for not just, like, the series episodes.
Yeah.
But, like, there are going to be a couple of weeks where you're going to be like, God, it's enough already.
That's too much.
And, like, five pieces of content.
Exactly. Us. Well, you know, we love it. We love
it. I'm just saying, it's never enough.
It's never enough.
We love it.
All right, we love you. Goodbye.
Bye. Stay safe, please.